Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Atul Krishna Prabhu in Sridham Mayapur addressing to Bhakti Shastri course devotees on 18th of December 2013 in Bhagavad Gita Unit 1. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Welcome. Yesterday's class, can you remember what are some of the things we were discussing in yesterday's class? Something else from yesterday's class? What else do you remember from yesterday?
Chaitanya Krishna is the ultimate yajna.
Yeah, okay. Sankirtana yajna gives environmental prosperity and to solve the environmental issues. Something else from yesterday?
Lust. About lust.
Lust, yeah. And Krishna's instructions on dealing with lust.
Demigod worship, why is one devotee? They don't worship demigods.
We don't worship demigods in Islam.
No?
In ISKCON, do we worship demigods or not?
No.
Yes. Yes. That was a confusing answer. So those who say no, why? That's obvious. Those who say yes, why? Yeah, I love you.
We worship Lord Shiva as the topmost Vaishnava. Vaishnava Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this? We worship demigods or not in ISKCON?
Yeah, we go be possible,
In ISKCON. Like, you know, there's Vrindavan, that's different. In ISKCON. Sri Gopi?
Ganesh.
No, just on the point yesterday, what we discussed.
We do not worship demigods because we are worshipping Lord Krishna.
Worshipping Lord Krishna means you're not worshipping the demigods.
You are worshipping the demigods.
Okay, so do we worship the demigods?
Yeah.
Do we worship the demigods?
Yes.
In Mayapur it's called the worship Vishwakarma.
We also worship Parvati in Rajapur. No, but actually we worship because we worship the Lord, we worship the root, and you're worshiping the tree. It's a simple philosophy. We don't worship them as competitors. We don't worship the demigods as competitors to the Lord. We worship the demigods automatically because they're satisfied by Sankirtan Yagya. Ah, we worship the demigods, and not just a few that you have on your altar, all 33 million by Sankirtan Yagya. We worship the cow, all the demigods are reposed in the body of the cow. Do we worship the cow?
Yeah.
Ah, we worship the cow. We will satisfy all the demigods by God Puja, God Raksha. We do God Puja. You've got to know, you've got to answer. You know, and then people are impressed. No, we do God Puja, we worship all the demigods in God Puja. Sada Deva Maya Guru. All the demigods are manifest in the body of the Acharya. We worship the Acharya. We've got to give the answers that people are satisfied with. And we can bring them to Krishna consciousness, not alienate them, without compromising our philosophy. Let's have a look at chapters 4 and 5, a bit of an overview, see what's going on. Okay, this is a very well-known section. Some of the verses in this section, can you tell? Some of them are memory verses. What are some of the verses from this section?
The birth, the activities of the Lord, they are all on like transcendental plane, and one who knows about this does not take birth again in this particular.
Now we've heard that is Prabhupada's most common quoted verse. Yeah. What other verses are there in this section? In the meaning?
Whenever there's a glide in religious principles and a corresponding rise of irreligion, at that time, I defend myself of Don and Parth.
Good. What else? Someone that hasn't contributed yet. Anand Mohan.
So there was a fire, and to analyze the miscreant, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear a millennium or so.
Good. Good, meaning?
And thus the supreme science was received through the chain of mystic succession. And the same kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken and
what?
Science is appears to be lost.
Very good. Be more, we're almost getting them all.
434, is it? Can we be very fast in
this section.
Oh, sorry, I guess.
Can you check the
Yeah, good, good. Well, it's very close. Is that 1 to 10? Well, it's creeping in. Creeping in. Anything else from 1 to 10? We covered the most important ones. Bahuni. Take them up. Yeah, you got it. What is that one? Such important verses, Bahuni Meda Dhani Janmani, who has so many words. Tani Aham Veda Sarvani, I remember them all. Natam Vita Parantava, but you cannot remember them. The difference between Bhagavan's appearance and the appearance of the Jiva. You forget. Oh, so much philosophy. So important.
And there's a Bhaktul Sumit Sakachini, the only line on it.
Yes, tell that one start. That you get it. So, hey, Maya, Maya, Yoga Prakta, Yoga Prakta, Bhaktoshi, Mei, Shakachi, Diva, Asham, Diva. You can understand, I'm explaining to you today, because you're my devotee and my friend. Imam Diva, Shade, Yoga. Instructors to the sun god, instructors to Manu, father of mankind, etc., etc. So many important verses in this section.
410, I think, Vita Raga, Maya Purda, Manmaya Mamu Pashutaha, Bhavaya Kapata, Putamat Bhavam Pashutaha. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past, they changed.
Yeah, very important. It's full of important verses, this section, and Prabhupada's purport is also very important, which you should read and understand and remember. And the basic theme is, what's the basic theme of this section? Basic conceptual principles established. We just said all the verses.
Transcendental knowledge of God Krishna.
Okay, particularly. I go wrong there. any further elaboration on that?
That's the history of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Yep.
And then to who?
Qualifications for understanding.
Yes.
Bhaktosi me shakachit.
Who receives it? To whom Krishna gives it? between Krishna and ordinary soul, and yep. Why Krishna comes to this world.
Very good. So many good points there. Something else cropped across my mind there also. Imam Raja Shayo Vidu. Imam Raja Shayo Vidu. Gita Upadesh in Krishna consciousness is meant for leaders. And we should preach to the leaders of society. You know? Krishna comes and preaches to the kings. So many important points in this section. Okay, there's more in there also. Carrying on, you can read in Bhuvi Jampa Buddha Surrender Unto Me how everything fits together. Okay, we're going to look at this in a little more detail shortly, this section about... Because what we're actually looking at in the fourth chapter, essentially, apart, it leads in this first section is about Krishna's appearance and everything. Okay, they're self-evident. But when we get from here onwards, we're looking at different things that produce jnana. There's a whole list of things in there. Brahmacharya and pranayama also mentioned so many things in there. I was discussing with one guy on the plane once, sitting next to me, Bhagavad Gita. And I said, which verse do you like best? And he said, this one. Oh, when the external breathing is and the internal breathing are held in kumbhaka. Such a way. Anyway, there's all these things are in there in Gita. It's all bona fide stuff. It's all bona fide. There in Gita. And basically the whole theme of it is how a jnani acts. How a jnani acts. He can't really just say it's all illusion, it's all temporary, so what's the point in feeding my body? What's the point? Because I'm not the body. So why waste any energy feeding it, maintaining it? So that is how jnani deals with the material world, we will see in this section, and we'll look at that shortly. But this is the kind of progressive discussion now. How jnani practically situates himself, jnani yoga. And then fifth chapter, let's have a look at this. Okay, the same theme again, which is coming up regularly, coming up. Why is it coming up? What's Arjuna's confusion?
Should he go to the forest?
Yeah, okay. And why is he confused? Initially he just didn't want to fight the battle, that's fine. But Krishna's instructions are also confusing him. What is Krishna saying that's confusing him?
Well, he said in chapter 3 that for him there's no duties. There's a one who without...
Yeah, Krishna's information about jnana, right, the uselessness of the material, the temporary nature of the material energy, that's bewildering Arjuna, that why should I fight then? Karma sannyas. I should just abandon everything. So Arjuna is still not synthesized yet, the idea of detached work. Still not clear on that. And the reason why it's not clear is for our benefit that Krishna will further elaborate. Because this is a major issue that people face in spiritual life. Yes?
Well, Krishna's already explained that he can't get away from the battle whether he goes to the forest or stays on the battle.
Yeah.
If he goes to the forest, he's going to have a whole other battle.
Yeah.
They will not be at Kurukshetra.
Yeah. So still Arjuna hasn't been able to synthesize these two things. How to be spiritual and act. Hasn't worked it out. Hasn't put them together yet. Okay. And then more description of jnani. A little bit like how people respond to him and his attitude to people. The verses in there. And then some... very philosophical stuff in here about, you could say, these verses, particularly about, you know, again, his perceptions on reality. Like he sees in these verses, he's explaining, he sees the Prakriti working and the Jiva has desires. There's a couple of interesting analogies that Prabhupada gives in the purports here. He talks about how the Jiva desires and the Prakriti provides and the Ishvara fulfills the desires. But the Ishvara is not responsible for the fulfillment of the Jiva's desires. It's done automatically through Prakriti. And the examples are given of the rain. So there's all different types of vegetation. Now it rains out here, and it's a wet season, after the wet season, so many different things grow in the garden. So the rain is you could say, responsible for that, on one hand. But the different varieties of plants is not really the responsibility of the rain. So it's like that. He's responsible, he's facilitating through the Prakriti, which is his energy, but it's in response to the jiva's independence. So the Prakriti is not accountable, it's the jiva who gets the reactions. Even though Prakriti Kriyamanani, it's the Prakriti which is actually doing it. Right? Prakriti Kriyamanani, the function, the action is the material energy. Jiva is transcendental. But the jiva gets the reaction and has to suffer because it's the jiva. So all that's explained. Nice philosophy there. And I think we get to the famous peace formula, and then the last couple of verses start talking about the next chapter. Any question on how the overviews of those chapters and how they kind of flow? And so further explanation is given in the handbook on all that. Now let's take a look now at, as we were mentioning a little earlier in the previous slide, about the condition or the situation of a jnani dealing with material energy. It's described, it's interesting, let's look at this. Someone like to read?
Nishkama Karma Yoga. Yasya sarvesamanam bhaktam sankalpavarjita janagni dagda karmanam tam aham panditam mudaha. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge.
Okay, so Nishkam Karma Yoga, that's the term that Bhurijan Prabhu uses in Surrender Unto Me. It means, it means the Nishkam means he's full of jnana, no more material desire, Nishkam, no more desire. So he's realized, so he's a jnani. It's a jnani, what general terms we describe as a jnani. And this is an interesting word here. We were discussing in the Karma Yoga that it's Tyaktva. Palam Tyaktva. What is that verse? Joga Shakuru Kamani Sangyam Tyaktva. You have to give up attachment. Actually, we kind of discussed it in our first day. The different inclinations the person may have. Okay, whether you want to do Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, right? We were discussing how all the modern approaches to spirituality are one or other of these processes or a combination. So you could say that the idea of, and we cited Christianity, and they're a bit of a mix of dhyana, because they sometimes, some groups meditate on the image of Jesus and Mary and the Sacred Heart, a little bit of dhyana there, but it's predominantly at best Karma Yoga, if not Karma Kanda in many cases. Do unto others as they would have do unto you. In other words, it's for my benefit, I'll follow the injunctions so that I get treated nicely. That's Karma Kanda. Okay? It's not detached, I want the result. I want to be treated nicely. Do unto others as they would have do unto you. Right? That's a tenet of Christianity. That's Karma Kanda. I want to enjoy the result, therefore I do it. So it goes to Karma Yoga, okay, selfless work, missionary activities, hospitals, medicine dispensary. That's popular in Christianity and in Western humanism. And actually that had a big influence in India. When you look at the colonization of India in the 17th and 18th centuries, that's because of the Western Christianity / humanism values, right? Love thy neighbor and care for your fellows and all of that. That's Christianity tenets. That influenced the philosophers in India, and you got all these like Ramakrishna philosophies emerging from that. Right? Where they have the hospitals, Ramakrishna, they have their hospitals, they have their schools, it's all material wealth, missionary work. They're influenced by the influence of the Christians. and they became embarrassed about, you know, the Vedanta and the Gyan and the temporary nature of the and the Vedantic conclusion, and they just predominantly their product is welfare activity. It's influenced by the Western Christian values. So anyway, that's the kind of like what we deal with today, and when we're preaching, you see all these things. But really, the idea of karma yoga is, you could say, perfect work. Perfect jogo karma shukoshalam. Jogo karma shukoshalam, the art of work. In other words, if you can work, if you can do vanasram dharma with complete detachment, simply out of duty for the ordinance and for pursuing the ordinances of the Supreme, you could say that is perfect work. You couldn't work in any more ideal way. It's completely selfless. I'm doing this because it's my prescribed duty in the ordinance, you know, system of the Supreme. And I'm working like that. It's kind of like perfect work. That's karma yoga. That's what you're trying to do. By working perfectly, you're trying to get perfection. And here, the jnani, it's not by detached work, but it's by jnana, and that jnana produces an agni which destroys your reactions. And so the strength is your wisdom, your perception of the reality, rather than your detachment and perfection of work. That's the difference between the two, karma yoga and jnana. Read this, please. Someone read that one.
Nishkama karma yoga. Brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma samadhiya.
Alright. Now, brahma karma samadhiya. In other words, the jnani, because of his strength of jnana, that is brahmaivatena gantavyam, in other words, everything he's seeing on the Brahman platform, therefore brahma karma samadhiya, his work becomes spiritual. Because of the strength of his jnana. That's the idea here.
Consummation is absolute, and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature.
424, I think. 424. Interesting, we were catering. Years ago, I was in Australia, and we were catering. You know, catering, devotees do catering. We go, the people hire us, we distribute prasadam. And it's oftentimes it's a very lucrative program for the temple. You can do catering and make lots of money. And, you know, for the temple, it's a good program. It's better than selling oil paints, that's for sure. So, the Saya Baba people, they invited us for their weekend, their annual convention to cater. So they had the venue, it was some like retreat place, and they gave us a whole thing, a wing for our rooms and the kitchen. We took over and we bought all our pots and everything from the temple. And for the 2 days we were there from Saturday morning early to Sunday evening, 3 meals a day, and it was like full on prasada, opulent. Every meal was a whole 15 course feast. And all the Sai Baba people at the end of the weekend, they're just saying, you know, like, oh, what a convention, you know, the food, oh, we'll come back next year. Oh. Like, super prasadam. And in the morning, we had our whole morning program in the kitchen area, you know, like we've got Mangalarti and Prabhupada Guru Prasadam, and kirtans all around the kitchen, and they're all coming and looking in, you know. And they're kind of sitting there doing the, you know, getting attracted to our kirtans. So it was actually good preaching. So anyway, one thing I remember is that before they'd take prasadam, our prasadam that we served them, before they would take their meal, their kind of concept of eating without karmic reaction, they sit down and before the meal, they chant this verse. They chant this verse. Brahmaparam brahmahavi brahmagno brahmanam hutam brahmaiva tenagantavyam brahmakarma samadhina. They chant this verse from Bhagavad Gita, and then they take it. So the idea being that by simply based upon their jnana of seeing that this food is also the Brahman, and kind of trying to conjure up that conclusion before eating, that's their method of not getting reactions for killing the... You get the idea. Right? So this is the idea of, you know, on the basis of your perception of the temporary and the eternal, you have so much power Jnana Agni, a fire, a heat as a result of your jnana, then everything you do, everything you touch is spiritual, becomes spiritual. We discussed these, we touched on these the other day in the class, we read these.
Is it true?
Well, is it true? I mean, it is a process. And Krishna's saying, if you have that much jnana, sure. In other words, your jnana is so powerful that the illusory energy just doesn't affect you. Your jnana is so powerful.
Without any higher taste?
Wow.
The illusory energy Krishna won't touch you?
That's the process. Jnana Agni. Say Rashe Maji Amuki Bolo Hari Hari. As a result of the higher taste, you lose. Krishna is saying as a result of jnana. That's what he's saying here. We're not evaluating it, we're just analyzing it. Because of your fertile brain, which is already on a much higher level, but we're just analyzing the process. So therefore, acts only for the bare necessities of life, right? Because what's the point? Everything's temporary. Why waste any time? Why waste time doing something that is not for my eternal requirement? So therefore, just a very limited thing. So therefore, in Varanasi, Prakasananda Saraswati and the Sannyasis, they criticize Mahaprabhu. Why you're eating so much and feasting and enjoying and relationships? Oh, Sannyasi can't have that. Sannyasira, what is that? Vedanta part, dhyana, Sannyasira dharma. You have to consider the conclusions of the Vedanta and meditate on the Supreme and nothing more. And then what does he say? Sannyasa, this is babu kara karma. Babuk means that you're all emotional about things. You're a sentimentalist. So no relationships, no friend. What's the point of a friend? It's temporary. No friend. The jnani, no friend. Friend is illusion. Companion is illusion. Acts only for the bare necessities of life. Just what it takes to shut it down. What is that? I think it's the next verse. Simply keeping the body alive, that's all. Why? Satisfied with the game, yadvritcha lava shantushta, whatever comes. Read this, please.
Daya kinchit karomiti yukto manyetra katvabit.
Translation.
A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all.
Okay, so this is like a description of the realization of a jnani. This is it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing these things. Jukta is a yogi. Jukta. Tattvavit is a jnana yogi. Jukta tattvavit. Jnana means jnana yogi. Jukta tattvavit. He has jnana and he's a yogi. Jnana yogi. So that's his realization. I'm not the body. I'm not doing these things. Now, question is... let's look at this. Here's like a summary of all those points. Sanskrit. Nisatukta, near ashraya, he has no shelter, independent, satisfied, whatever it is. The place is clean, it's not clean, doesn't matter. Yadrichalava, whatever it comes, whatever situation it is, just let it be. Sharidam kevalam karma, only working, sharidam just the body, in other words, just to be alive, nothing more than that. Only what is required to stay alive. Yadritcha lava shantu, whatever comes, I'm satisfied with it. Whatever situation. I have campus, we don't have campus. That's okay. I have temple, we don't have temple. I have devotees, don't have devotees. Whatever is okay. Everything is spiritual. I'm not the doer. I'm not doing anything. Now, if you put all these things together, and this kind of, you could say, this you'd call it a style S-T-Y-L-E. This style or this approach, what can it what may it produce? Misunderstanding of it. Or improperly applying it. What may it produce? I think Adi Purush, you had a hand up?
Impersonalism.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Very much, yeah. And further elaboration?
Laziness.
Very interesting. Now, have you, apart from ISKCON temples, have you visited little local temples around India and Nepal? Have you visited?
Yes.
Yeah. Adi Purush, what's been your experience?
Even to the Shiva temples are more quiet in the sense that worship, you know, specific timing after that, the whole place will be quiet.
Okay, nothing going on. What else have you seen? You visit temples, little temples in India.
We found a temple in South Tamil Nadu that even the village did not know really how to get there. And when we got there, we found four generations of Pujaris living there. All related, four generations. And when they finally opened all the doors, there was a solid piece of black granite, 23 feet long, of Mount Vishnu lying there.
And they didn't even know about it.
The village didn't even know about it. And the poverty that they were suffering in Pujaris was absolutely unbelievable. And no one came to the temple, even from the village. Yeah. And yet it was right outside the village. 23-foot solid Mahavishnu.
Other experiences? What have you found? What do you see? Some
guys are dirty. They're
dirty.
Oh, yeah.
They're dirty. Why? Because, why?
Because the personalist, the jnani yogi, he doesn't care what
that's
the
right.
situation is.
Yadritcha lava. Dirty or clean. And all their clothes hanging around, you know, their gumshoes and their kopins all around the temple. And they're just there. And it's like tamasic.
Yeah.
Tamasic. I mean, Nepal, you go to the old temples in Nepal, Krishna Sarupa was such a tamasic. They're all, usually they smoke ganja, and just hang around. We see this type of thing, and they consider that spiritual, because, you know, misunderstanding these things. You can't be inspired about anything. You can't endeavor for anything. You can't start any project. It's all just maya. It's all just... And as a result of that, you know, the society, the respectable society in India, the leaders, the influential people, educated people, how do they value spiritual practice?
Threat.
Yeah, or possibly.
An excuse for not working.
Yeah, it's just a lazy man's profession. The beggars come, give him some dana, they go, give him some money, the beggar, some sadhu comes. They don't consider it to be very important. It's a sentimental thing, all, you know, the misfits and those who are useless types, they just go and live in the temple.
Well, even Prabhupada didn't even want to go see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said to his friend,
They consider, the educated class consider, they don't respect because they don't think it has any potency. There's no potency. Right. Oh, they don't invest any respect in it because, you know, out of sentiment, they'll give some coins to satisfy. They don't consider it have any potency anymore.
Well, at so many hundreds of the temples that I've been to here in India, there's no preaching available.
Yeah.
There's stories that maybe one pujari can relate, but there's no factual preaching of Shastra based upon the deity itself. So, the Indian community visiting there is coming away with nothing but a visual of a deity.
Yeah, of course, some temples are there where there's so many, you know, millions of people go and everything, the deity is so powerful, and then there's the pujas going on. But that's not always the case, oftentimes. And in general, the educated people, they're not sending their sons to become brahmacharis, huh? Because they don't consider it to have any power. As a result of people, you know, just the misunderstanding of spiritual life and what it is. It's a common thing that we see. Now let's take a look at how in the purport, how Srila Prabhupada actually explains these principles. Because it's not that this is, you know, what is that? Kim anya shashtavi shtadahaya shayam padmanamukha. This is Padmanabha Mukha Vani. This is absolute truth. It's not wrong. This is, you know, Krishna doesn't say anything wrong. What he says is perfect, but it's people's application of it which becomes all misunderstood and misapplied. But Prabhupada actually understands and gives us not only, he gives us the ideal application for the current circumstances. Let's look at some of the things Prabhupada said. Okay, keeping the Shariram Kevalam Karma, acting only for the maintenance of the body. Can you read Prabhupada's purport to that, please?
The machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance, so a Krishna conscious man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He is therefore immune to all the reactions of his endeavors.
Okay. A perfect philosophy. Because he has a vision what he's doing and remaining fit for the service of the Lord, therefore he accepts whatever is required for that and looks after his body, looks after his assets. Doesn't see them as being his or for his enjoyment, but they're meant for the service of the Lord. So it's a perfect application. Can I read this one? Have a question?
Yes. Just wondering what the difference between this and actually not being affected by the material nature of, because having the
The Jnani approach would be to not do anything, to minimize it. You know, the less, you know, the don't have anything, don't start anything, don't own anything, don't do anything. And in that way, my illusion will be minimized. But it's actually a compromised approach. Because the illusion is still there, but I'm just minimizing it. So I don't really know who is the proprietor. But I'll just minimize my illusory dealing. But as a devotee, he completely understands that everything is for the service of Krishna, so he has got a complete perception. And he can spiritualize everything, and whether it's a lot or a less is irrelevant. Whether you're a grihastha with a house, you know, a big house and a job and a car and some income, or whether you're a sannyasi, the attitude is the same. Whatever I require for the service of the Lord. So it's much more, the point is that Prabhupada's teachings is a much more practical and uncompromised way of actually acting. Does that answer?
But the jnanis, are they actually affected by the information or not?
Well, the point is that even you minimize it, you're still affected, but it's less. But it's still, you know, because they don't actually know who's the real provider of things, and they consider it, they still have to deal with the illusion, but to a small, to a less degree.
No, nothing is
imitating probably not, but the thing is, it's just not practical. Because you have to deal with the material energy to some degree, as long as you've got a body. But a devotee has a practical method of that, okay, I'll use my body for serving Krishna, and therefore I'll accept whatever's required, and spiritualize it. And it's natural, and it's practical, and comfortable. Rather than the jnani who's all bitter and negative about everything. Read this one. Nirashaya, independent.
Freedom from the bondage of actions is possible only in Krishna consciousness. When one is doing everything for Krishna, Krishna consciousness acts out of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he has no attraction for the results of the action. He is not even attached to his personal maintenance, for everything is left to Krishna.
Okay, so the body is dependent on Krishna. Not that he, like a jnani, tries to artificially establish himself in independence by minimizing his interaction with material energy. Therefore I'm less dependent. I'm going to live in a cave, I don't depend on anything. No, but the devotee completely dependent on Krishna. Like to read this one? He's not breathing, he's not walking, he's not moving around. The prophet said.
Karoti.
Krishna consciousness, never think that I am doing something. Even if you ask him that, are you going to a such and such a place? He will say that, I do not know when I saw Guru, but when Krishna will ask me or allow me to go, I saw Guru. Naivan?
I'm saying
this from my practical experience from my Guru Maharaj. He would never say, I am doing. No, if Krishna desires, then I shall do it. If Krishna desires, then I shall go.
So we're saying the Vaishnava approach is actually a perfect understanding of these principles. An analogy probably. Now you can spiritualize in the work, not by minimizing it all, or imposing a gyan conception on everything from us. Here, how the body does it. Can you read?
A patient who is suffering from a disorder of the bowel due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely a curd.
Okay, you know, this means yogurt. So, in other words, this is an analogy given by Narada Muni in Bhagavatam, first canon, chapter 5. That, okay, the Gyani approach is to stop acting, because acting causes suffering. Action causes suffering and entanglement. So the Gyani approach is to stop acting, and just whatever minimal I have to act, okay, I'll do that, but nothing more than that. But here, Prabhupada is saying that proper action is the cure. Proper action, not inaction. Proper action is the cure. And this is empathetic, anyway, you can read Prabhupada's comments here.
The moral activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only. The more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption.
So what do you think about that?
That would be the answer for the materialist scientist saying that what we use in the spiritual activities, he can put this forward saying that the entire atmosphere and place we live becomes better by practicing spirituality, whereas materialists can't do that.
Other thoughts on this?
Can point that Yagya and what he spoke about yesterday, the gradual development.
Well, this is the complete opposite of the misunderstanding. Okay, well, we won't start any project, we won't do any work, we'll just minimize everything. Here Prabhupada is saying, the more you do in Krishna consciousness, the better. The more you act, better for you, and not only that, but the whole atmosphere is purified by that. For Krishna conscious activity, you can actually purify the rest of the world. So this is the key. This is, you could say, this is Prabhupada's statement here. It's like a motto, for practical application and rectification of the whole material world. Everything can be engaged, everything can be connected, you can do it with Krishna. Big built temples, it's the complete opposite. It means enthusiasm, it means spiritual ambition, it means activity, it means cooperation. Everything that materialistic society is thirsting for is lacking. This is the vision of Vaishnava. How to perfectly apply everything in a perfect way, in a practical way, in a natural way, that everybody can apply. Krishna says, Tomar Krishna Didya Paro. That's the power of a Vaishnava, that he can show us how to apply the Shastra. in perfect one.
It's like yukta there, I
think. Yeah.
Now, when these other approaches to these verses, is there a monitor for other rulers?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's all bona fide. It's not a question of any. It's still bona fide, but unless it's shown how to be done in a practical way by one who understands, like a Vaishnava, then you know you're just bewildered by it, confused by it. In many cases, this is an example of how Prabhupada's purports are for humanity more important than the statements of Krishna himself in the Gita. Or equally enlightening, huh? Statements like this, Prabhupada. One paragraph which is so enlightening for humanity, so clear, such a guideline. This is Acharya, Jayaguru, Lord Acharya. This is why. He's giving the formulas which can actually apply to everybody in every place, and perfection can be easily achieved. It's not the rub.
This verse, 108 temples in 12 years, 7 books in 12 years, 14 times around the globe.
As an example, Prabhupada's ideal example. The more the activities in the material world are performed for Krishna, then the more the atmosphere becomes purified.
The electrified the atmosphere.
Yeah, Krishna. Actually, I was having some reflections on that. Like when Mahaprabhu, he appeared, when I was in the college, I studied history of art. And it was interesting because what they call the high renaissance of art was just at the time of Mahaprabhu's appearance on the planet. They consider that to be the pinnacle of all artworks of humanity. You know, Leonardo, Michelangelo, all these guys. That was high renaissance. That was 1500 to 1520. Just at the time Mahaprabhu was on the planet. So all the world was affected. And we had the cultural and social revolution of the late 60s in the Western world. And people, why at that time? It hasn't happened before, and it's still nothing like that. Nothing like that has happened since. You know, all young people just dropping their lives and wandering out seeking the Supreme, literally. Or wandering across the United States to San Francisco looking for the Supreme. And Jani Nivasaru, Kanamakan Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, all going off to India looking for the Supreme. I mean, that's not happening now in society. Young people, they're all just becoming engineers and software programmers. But at that time, it was different. The planet was just affected by Prabhupada's lotus feet touching it. And people were just all thinking about this. It's a fact. It shook the whole planet. As Nityananda Ramprabhu was explaining, okay, the practical things Prabhupada did, but just his presence on the planet affected people's consciousness. I mean, everybody knows that social and cultural revolution of the late 60s was an incomparable thing. It doesn't happen every 10 years. It's an incomparable thing. You know, the Woodstock Festival, 500,000 people. 500,000 people. Guru Jambu was also there. 500,000 youth, all converged in one concert, 1968.
Speaking of this verse, there are hundreds of devotees who have dreamed about Prabhupada before they ever heard of him. Hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada, you know, the effect of him on the planet. Measurement. All right. Now let's do this. Let's take a look at text number 2, chapter 5, and read it with a partner, and together, see if you get what significant things you can find in the report. Maybe just do this now, and then any remaining things you can come. Let's spend 5 minutes looking at this report and see what significant things you can find in it. 5.2. 5.2.
All right, let me read this.
Elaborate
Have we completed that exercise?
Yes.
Yeah? So, would someone like to share? Yes, Nityananda Ram.
We're going to go, for starters, with the first two sentences of the purport and the last two sentences of the purport, which is fruitive activities to seek sense gratification are caused from material bondage as long as one is engaged in activities aimed at improving the standard of bodily comfort. One is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing material bondage perpetually. And the last two sentences of the purport is, since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna, which is one of Prabhupada's main teaching points. This perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of the Maya body system.
So the significance of those statements?
The significance of the first two sentences are that we all preach over and over again that fruitive activities leads to material bondage, which leads a person into ignorance, which leads a person to perpetually reincarnate and never ever get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And the last two sentences is the way out, that if everything belongs to Krishna, then everything should be employed in the service of Krishna, and this perfect form of Krishna consciousness will lead you away from the first two sentences, which lead you into bondage.
Good. Yeah, that's like the current analogy. The more you act for Krishna, the more you liberate. Yes, same partner.
Yes,
something else.
I think Prabhupada touches on such an important point in the purport, right in the middle. He says, without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of fruitive activity does not actually purify the heart of a conditioned soul. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on the fruitive platform.
So
Prabhupada is emphasizing that purification of heart is more important than not Krishna renunciation.
Yeah. And then simply stopping, you know, and trying to live like I'm on the transit, I'm Gyan, it won't actually cure you of the disease. Other things? Adi Purush.
The point of Mayavadis fall down, why they fall down is they can't sustain that state.
Yeah.
And here is where the actual state of the soul is naturally active, whereas the Raku is trying to hold back. And this actually tells action is needed, and that action has to be conscious.
Yeah, they can't sustain, and most people are just not attracted to it anyway, because it's just against their nature. And for that reason, you know, educated society just minimizes the whole thing, because they think that, what's the use of these fellows? It's impractical. Can't help humanity. Other things? Yes, Michael?
Prabhupada here says, one must develop enough devotional service of Vasudev, only then can one have an opportunity to get out of bondage of material existence. Meaning that if you don't have love for Vasudev or for Krishna, then at best, you should not do it.
Even your Jnani. Other things? Narayana Shikapu. Narayana
Prabhu. One should understand that factually nothing belongs to anyone. Then where does the question of renunciation? One knows that everything is Krishna's property, is always situated.
Good. This is an important point. Remember this. This is key to our essay topic. This point. How a bhakti is the best jnani. We'll be looking at this today, further after a little break. Compared to a jnani's jnana. How a bhakti has more jnana than a jnani. Other things? Nikolavya Prabhu?
I like this statement. It says, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails the risk of falling. It's just like a no-risk process. We study in Nectar of Devotion that if you fall from Krishna consciousness, then there's no prayaschitta required. You just pick up the process and keep going. And that way you become reinstated. But it's a difficult situation if you're a jnani, because if you fall down, you fall down, you're stuck.
That's it, nowhere to go. At least. Someone say it. At least in Krishna consciousness there's Grihastha life. Right? The jnanis, that's it, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
Prabhupada puts act in italics. One has to act in the sense of spirit, so that means laziness is not a quality of the...
Yes, Sri Babu.
Renunciation is complete when it is in the knowledge that everything in existence belongs to the one, then no one should take the position for it.
Good. And that also we were discussing yesterday about how, okay, because Arjuna, you know, setting an example of detached work is better for those, even those who need to do attached work. Huh? So therefore, karma yoga is superior to karma sannyas, right? Because no harm in doing karma yoga, even if you're a jnani, no harm in doing it, and you'll be setting a good example for those who are attached. And another reason why Krishna recommends it over karma sannyas is that there's less chance of fall down, because you've got activity, you've got spiritual actions and sensual engagement, rather than a jnani who has nowhere to go. Nowhere to the devil's workshop, what do they call that? Idle mind, right? Easy for Maya to come in there because you have no activity to take shelter of. Okay? So that's a little bit on Prabhupada's purports, what we have been discussing, Prabhupada's purports to the fourth and fifth chapters, which Krishna is describing, you know, the activities and the position of a jnani. Okay, we reread that. Now this is text number 46 of chapter 6. Someone read the translation, please.
A yogi's reader then as ecstatic.
It'd be better if we could turn that light on.
Greater than embraces and greater than the fruitless worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi.
Okay, what does this mean? Okay, so many things. But particularly, what's the significance of using this word greater?
Higher. It means more.
Higher, yeah, okay, higher. Okay. So that means, yeah, greater means more advanced. They're not all the same. So hierarchy. So Krishna is saying that ascetic here means a tapasvi, or that's also a jnani, and an empiricist is a jnani. So two types of jnani. They're better than the karma yogis. Or the kamakandis. So therefore Krishna is explaining that these things are progressively higher and higher. And as Prabhupada comments in the purport, you can read, please, someone read.
It may be compared to a ladder for attaining the topmost spiritual realization. This ladder begins from the lowest material condition of the living entity and rises up to perfect self-realization in pure spiritual life. According to various elevations, different parts of the ladder are known by different names. But all in all, complete ladder is called yoga.
Okay, so Prabhupada coined the term yoga ladder, meaning you go step by step, you gradually come to the top rung. Can you read this, please?
Yes, the gradual progress of yoga system. Karma yoga to beyond yoga. Karma yoga means fruitive activities, pious activities or prescribed activities. Then, by performing karma yoga, one comes to the platform of jnana yoga, knowledge. And from knowledge to this ashtanga yoga, jnana yoga. Then from ashtanga yoga, concentrating the mind on Vishnu, comes to the point of bhakti yoga.
Alright, there it is. Prabhupada describing how you go step by step, comes back to the question.
So I would like to know, when should we reach this type of
measure? We'll answer that question at the end of the session today. Alright? Let's have a look at it in a diagram. This is in your handbook. So you can have a look at that. Down the bottom there is Kamakanda. And as we were discussing yesterday, what's below that, by the way? Or that is Karma Kanda is what level in terms of evolution?
A human.
Human. And below that?
Yeah.
So if you're not doing Vanashram Dharma, what are you?
Dvipashu.
Yeah?
Two-legged animal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then, so most of society is on the level of animals. Who's doing Vanashram Dharma? Then, as we were discussing yesterday, all of those things, you gradually get purified, you develop more gyan, and you continue, you begin to inquire, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, after going through all of the ritualistic sections of the Vedas, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Upanishads are there then, and anyway, you begin the detachment, but you continue on with the Vanashram duties, and actually, you can say that just by karma yoga you can get liberation. You can, it's a dotted line there because it's kind of almost, but if you look in the second chapter, text 51, if you want to take a look at it, second chapter, text 51. Someone can read the Sanskrit for that, please, second chapter, text 51.
कर्मजन बुद्धि युक्ता ही फल त्यक्त्वा महिष्णः जन्म बंधवे मुक्ता फलं गच्छति अनारे.
Okay, so just looking at the Sanskrit, Sri Baba, what does it mean? Not the translation, the Sanskrit. What does it mean? Who can say?
Karmajan buddhi yukta phalam tyaktva manishinam.
Yeah, so if you do your prescribed duties and you give up the pole, the fruit, then what do you get? Which means? Means liberation. Jamnabandha Vinayamukta means mukti, impersonal mukti. Because there's no reaction. You've got no karma anymore. Because you're completely detached. But practically speaking, actually you become a jnani. It's really, you really evolve to be a jnani. There's so much jnana. And then probably there's karma sannyas. From Karma Yoga, Karma Sannyas, you no longer worry about the Vanashram Dharma, you're, as we described in the fourth chapter, you're already, you're Jnana Agni, you're on that level, and little bit you do is not going to entangle you. So then, you actually get Brahman realization, impersonal realization.
This is the level of
Jnana Maya? Not exactly, that's a little different. Don't worry about that. This is Jnani. Jnana Yoga, Brahman realization. What you're talking about there, the word Maya means, that M-I-M-A-Y-A, that means to be full of. So it means like Annamaya. And then Jnana Maya, that means, Annamaya means you're only thinking about eating. Manamaya, and Jnana Maya means like you have philosophical conception. Ananda Maya, you have devotion. Ananda Maya means full of bliss. Jnana Maya means full of knowledge. Read text number 19, please, fifth chapter.
519.
Yeah, 519. It's describing the jnani's Brahman, achieving the Brahman.
The humble stages by virtue of. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman.
Right. So in other words, as we were describing those verses earlier, when you're full in the Gyan so much that there's no difference between you and the Brahman, you, that's it. That's Brahman realization. So Jnana Yoga, you get Brahman realization. Now, after that, sixth chapter is there, you can begin to do the meditation on the super soul and realize the Paramatma, and then after that you begin Bhakti Yoga, as Prabhupada explained. Now, let's take a look at some of these connections, particularly in detail. In your handbook, there is a chart which shows you the different references where the bridges are described. Okay, so that's recorded in your handbook there, and if you want to go and have a look at it again later, you can. Page 23. But we will discuss, already we've discussed this one, Karma Kanda to Karma Yoga. We discussed that yesterday. Some of these we're going to look at now in a little more detail. From Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga. Prabhupada in the purport we just read. Can you read?
Activities performed in full knowledge, strengthen one's master, and real knowledge.
Alright, so if you're doing Vivyavana Srandharma with detachment, that's called activities performed in knowledge, that will produce jnana. Right? So automatically by doing detached prescribed duties, you will develop jnana. It will manifest. And you'll begin to realize what is the temporary and what is eternal. Automatically. Is the question in this andara?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Here's another way of looking at it.
What activities and what full knowledge?
What activities? Activities means prescribed, means karma. Yeah, in other words, you're not doing sinful activity, you're acting according to Vanasrana Dharma, you're doing your Grihastha Dharma, or your Vaishya Dharma, or your Kshatriya Dharma, and you're doing that simply because it's your duty. That's called Karma Yoga. And if you do that, you will get jnana. And also, we looked at yesterday, if you do sin, that produces what? Or what does it destroy?
Knowledge.
Yeah, the path destroys jnana. Remember yesterday, jnanam abhrita dehinam, karma esha krodha esha. The karma, kam, lust, jnana abhrita, it destroys jnana, and therefore proper activity, or punya, produces jnana. Punya produces jnana, and path destroys jnana. So in that way, by karma yoga, you're gradually going to develop more jnana. And then eventually when the jnana becomes so strong that you no longer consider the karma yogi, you're a jnana yogi. That's it. Question?
Now you said that path destroys the knowledge.
Yeah.
But ignorance from ignorance we are doing.
Yeah, so then path will produce more path.
And more. Disturbance.
Yeah.
So how about it? Confusion
here,
like real knowledge
means
what is like matter and spirit.
Yeah.
Up to that point of it, like not
beyond that. That's what we mean by difference between matter and spirit, are not the body. And therefore all the things that Krishna was describing in the session we looked at earlier, you can begin to recognize I'm not the doer, I'm not the body, these activities are temporary, that's jnana. And also we studied the other day that Nateshu Ramate Buddha, a jnani does not become charmed by the offered by the temporary pleasures of the material world, the antavanta, because he sees they're temporary, that's jnana.
So he is not going beyond the
state
up to Brahmana, he's not going beyond the Brahmana.
No. He's not meditating on Paramatma, he's just getting jnana of his oneness with the eternity. Okay, anything else on that?
It says real knowledge, advancement in real knowledge.
Yeah?
Real knowledge is Krishna.
Well, yeah, fine, could be. But we're not talking about sadhana bhakti here. We're talking there. Real knowledge would mean not material knowledge, vidya and jara vidya, material knowledge. Sometimes that's also called knowledge, material learning. But real knowledge means knowledge of Brahman, no, spiritual knowledge. Real knowledge, spiritual knowledge. In this case, you know, it's Krishna's just talking about Brahman realization. So
it can be real, but it can't be fully real.
The Brahman's real. No, well, it's one aspect of the Lord, but it's spiritual and it's liberation, so it's complete, but it lacks rasa, that's all. It lacks rasa. It's, in one sense it's not complete, but and the other sense is complete. If those who want it, they're, that's it, it's complete. That's the end of the road. Okay, and then bhakti, then dhyani yoga to bhakti. This is also quite interesting. Okay, you're doing, okay, jnana yoga, you begin doing, it's, we could say you've got the option, you can go for Brahman, or you can go for meditation and Paramatma. When jnana yoga increases in meditation on the super soul, then you're doing jnana yoga, you're practicing jnana yoga, okay, so then Paramatma realization. From Paramatma realization, Prabhupada explains in the middle of the sixth chapter. This is quite an interesting verse, 631. Someone like to read it, please?
Sarabhuta sthitam yonam bhajati ekatvam asthitaha.
Okay.
Such a yogi engaged in the merciful service of the super soul, knowing that I and the super soul are one.
To use the popular vernacular, this is like a bridge verse. Because here Krishna is saying that if you're a yogi and sarva bhuta sthito yomam, you see me situated in all living beings. Like that picture of the yogi, he's sitting, he sees the and the animal and the tree and the house. That if you do that, then Krishna is saying that actually you're on the beginning stages of devotional service. You're worshipping bhajan. He engages in worshipable service of the super soul.
Can you answer on my question? No.
What?
Can you answer on my question now on this?
No. Later. Okay. Hold it on. Hold it, just keep it there. When are we going to preach this? No, not yet. I'll answer your question. And as we know, you studied probably make the devotion something about Shantaras.
Yeah.
That the Paramatma realized yogis, so this is the idea. You're beginning bhakti. This verse is saying. And as Prabhupada comments, in the purport, okay, that you begin to develop relationship with the Lord in the heart. So that's the idea. I mean, the point is that, it's almost answering your question, but not completely answering. Ajita Ananda? Ajita Ananya? Ajita Ananda? Almost answering your question, that, you know, these things are meant to bring you to bhakti. Right? So that means we should preach to people to do karma kanda. What do you think about that? If we're following this, probably we should preach people to do karma kanda, and we should become the international society for ritualistic activity. Right? What do you think about that? Dimitri!
Isn't it that we should try to assess the level of which person is on at the moment?
We can preach karma kanda, or we can preach karma yoga, or jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. Fine, I'm okay with that. Yes, Prabhu?
But in the same time, because it's a bit of bhakti now.
Why not? Well, I'm not sure about that, but it seems to me that, you know, you have to go through all these things to get to bhakti. Narayan. You have to go. That's how you want to start your bhakti. You've got to go through all of these.
I think in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that in the word karma yoga and jnana yoga, the word yoga means bhakti yoga. That's a little but, you know.
Krishna didn't say it anywhere.
yesterday
in what we were looking at. He said you have to go through all the, he's saying, yes, but
all the other parts, like karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga, everything is included in bhakti yoga.
Is that so? So what do you suggest then? If that's your case then? How do others feel about that?
Right.
How do others feel about that? Any Purush, you don't agree?
I don't see how bhakti yoga does the ashtanga yoga thing, so we have...
Okay, that's like interesting. Alright, well, let's look at this then. Can we take the bhakti directly?
Yes.
Okay. So does that mean if we do that, then it's not really the same as going through the ladder? It's really better to go through, because you want to, you know, just in case you miss anything. What's that analogy?
Don't climb the stairs. Take the elevator. Take the lift.
Isn't it better to go, you know, if you climb the stairs, then you really...
You'll get a heart attack. It'll take too long. Why wait? Go right for the bhakti. Hit the button on the elevator. Go! Go! Go!
You have to listen to music in the elevator?
No, but, but when you get there, at the top, isn't there some type of sectarianism? You people came on the elevator. We came on the stairs. It's better, you know, it's better. On the elevator, people, it's not really the same thing when you're on the top floor. Is it the same thing, or it's not really the same thing? I don't understand.
No. Right. Same thing.
How is it the same thing?
Because you got to the same place.
So does that mean, So does that mean if you can do bhakti, if you can start bhakti directly, what does that tell us about bhakti then? Without doing it, without practicing any of these things. If it's the same, then?
It's independent.
We are
naturally practicing all the things which are done by Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi. We are naturally getting up early in the morning and
all right. So we may not be doing the same things, but we may be achieving. Now, do you guys feel that just by doing bhakti, you can achieve everything that you achieve by these different practices?
Yes. Yes.
You think you'd be able to prove that?
Yes.
No.
Yes, no,
I don't know. Not possible. Well, some people think they can prove it, so hopefully they'll be in your group. And then they can influence those who don't think it's possible. Do you think you guys could possibly demonstrate? I mean, this year, you know, the standard of students is really low. I don't think you guys are going to be able to do it. We'll have to get back to the
group.
I don't think you guys could actually demonstrate. I challenge you. I don't think you guys could actually demonstrate how it's possible in bhakti yoga to achieve all of the achievements of these.
You can't tell me that I don't need Krishna in my heart.
Yeah, could you guys do that?
Yes.
So shall we see?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you interested?
Yeah.
Have we generated some interest in this?
Yes.
You ready to come up to the challenge?
Yeah.
Okay, love you, Prabhu, smiling.
Go! Go! Go!
Okay, so let's do this. Let's give you a little exercise. We'll put you in the group. Today, bhakti is not banned.
Oh.
Today, your role play has to be bhakti. And you have to demonstrate how, by doing bhakti, you get everything that you achieve by doing what we've been describing in these preliminary yoga levels. Okay? Just by doing bhakti. You have to show.
We'll need a feast.
Okay, so we'll give you plenty of time for this. We're going to divide it up. We have to divide up. It's 5 to 12, so let's come back at 12:30 and see, and we'll have a look at your role plays. And let's do, you guys over here, Karma Yoga?
Yeah. Probably. So
we can
change it up and
then go to work. Okay, Sankara. We're going to do what we're following the advice of Sankara. Everybody stand up, please. Prabhupada, would you stand up? You can keep your books or whatever. Now, when you get, I'm going to do a little bit of kirtan. This is like musical chairs. You remember musical chairs? But you don't have to be in anxiety. There's enough chairs for everybody. In this exercise, as long as the kirtan is going, you have to move around. Okay, you move around. You can't stop. Move around the whole classroom. When the kirtan stops, then immediately you look around and the immediate people in your area, four or five people, you gather with them and make a group. And then I'll come around, got in the groups, I'll give you, I'll delegate what type of yoga you have to demonstrate, okay? Someone like to do the kirtan part? When the cartels stop, you have to stop.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Five people in your area, grab them.
Hey, that was
a okay, so as soon as you got five, you put your hand up.
See what happened.
Kami Yoga. Kami Yoga. Kami Yoga.
Karma.
Hand up. Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga. Hand up.
We have a bottle of
wine. There is.
Do we have one? Go right there. No
wine. Can do one if you
like. You can take a break and then come back.
So you know, something you're going to show Bhakti Yogi, how he took the Kami Yoga.
Jnani and two bhakti yogis, and there will be different
things that are offered to them and how do they react? Here comes, they are being presented items that are like cosmic gadgets, and how do they react for all that? Here's the knife, I for single and by four. You like to use it for your one.
This is Maya. Brahma Satyam Jagat.
This is not the rectangle. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't want this?
I don't want it.
You don't want it? Are you sure?
Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Now again, you have in mind, you can see just without any.
Look, this is a nice mobile phone. Would you like to use it for your
Will you all be giving them a solution?
Yes.
They are so upset.
Don't tell you, Prabhu.
Oh, Prabhu, this is what we've been waiting for
years.
You can see how they are that.
You can finally start translating the book of Srila Prabhupada.
This is not
But I thought it's going to entangle us. Isn't that how... Isn't this entangle you?
This way you can improve our mission.
Okay, so welcome to our motivational seminar. Thank you all for coming today. And we have three special guests who have come today who are going to share with us their activities in life and why they do those activities. Let us start with the general. What do you do? And why do you do it?
I'm an army general and I work to maintain my family and also I give 50% of my salary to charity.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much. And what about you, Abhay?
I'm an artist and I paint and the money I make from it, I'm a very responsible person. I take care of my family very nicely. And that's my charity. It's my own family and my artwork.
Thank you, Abhay. And Anand Mohan Prabhu.
I'm a Brahmana by profession. I conduct a lot of Srimad Bhagavatam Sankara. All over India I travel and do a lot of it. I get a lot of money from these lectures and I give them donations to hospitals.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Nityananda Ram Prabhu, please explain your profession and what happens to your money.
I am Vaishya. I am owning Sari Sword. And just now I am giving money to temple.
Giving money to?
Temple.
Temple.
Yes, that is my motivation to give some money to temple.
Very good. Prabhuji has a wonderful motivation. Not only does he give his money to charity, but he gives his money to Krishna. He gives his money to the temple. And that is far superior. Because those that give their money only for material welfare work, that is karma. But Krishna says in Gita, Yat Karoshi Yadashnati, Yat Shahosi Vidasiyat, Yat Sapatsati Kanteya, Yat Kutatarushva, Vad Arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away in charity, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So, my dear friends, if we can follow in the footsteps of Nityananda Ram Prabhu, and in addition to giving charity for material, mundane welfare work like hospitals, can we also give some money to the temple to Krishna? Then we'll be immensely benefited. We can come immediately to the platform of Bhakti Yoga just by giving the results of our work to Krishna. So what do you think, Mr. General?
Working all my life, just to say the same. You
serve the nation. And the best way to serve the nation is to be engaged in it. I forgot the
better. I know.
The best way to serve the nation to preach this message. I would like to vote for that.
Very good, thank you. We need great generals in our worship and his army like you.
Thank you.
And high promotion.
Yes, I think it's a great idea. I will use my art for maybe the DVD, and that way I'll have more pictures for the books of Krishna, and people will be more attracted to Krishna consciousness. And then, of course, my whole family can become Krishna conscious. And like this, everyone is happy in Krishna consciousness.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Pai. And Anand Mohan will
transform my whole style of speaking from Mayavadi to Krishna consciousness. I've been all the while speaking impersonally. And I've been now studying new kind of scriptures and using it as a service of
you got to share street. Alright, that's it.
Okay everyone, welcome to this devotee meeting. Today the purpose of our meeting is to what? Does anyone know? Yes, to set our finances for the current year. Sankirtan team, is that okay? Kastanath, is that alright?
Okay.
Gyanath, is that okay? Money? Are you a liar? I came here for a proper meeting, a meeting of knowledge.
Not all this talk about money and Maya, what is this business?
So
you're going to be a temple, a spiritual movement.
Well, that's a fund to facilitate your project.
We're a movement of knowledge. We're trying to cure ignorance.
Okay, well, here's £10,000. You want it?
You're a liar! Get away from me! It's all about knowledge.
You're loose. Something's loose. That's the problem. What are you going to do with this 10 grand?
Oh, bloody!
Krishna said in Upanishad, everything ending or inanimate that completes in life, all are controlled by God. So one should therefore accept all those things that were said, who are such as Kota, one should not accept all that things were able to be wrong. This money belongs to Krishna, as you know. This temple is waiting for the opening in 2016. This money to open the temple. So this money is useful.
Go make it happen, Bhaktivinoda. Go make it happen. Go do it!
Stop it! Get away from me!
Maya,
that very same night at Sunday Night Kirtan.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama.
I like your help. So our drama includes like first like karma yoga, person. We will do some activities and then one person passes through like a bhakti yogi and then he sees him and he tries him to become a bhakti yogi, understand him differences. And then next he goes to act as a bhakti yogi. And then
You've got 3 minutes to do all that.
Yeah.
Karma yoga examples, what did we see? We're doing it for Krishna, our artist served Krishna. Previously he was doing it for family, but doing it for Krishna. The businessman doing the temple, giving money to the temple, the Kshatriya, I guess he should have been, he could be fighting for Krishna like Arjuna. Pretty clear. Doing everything for Krishna, automatically you're detached. Knowledge. Now this is interesting because the Jnanis, they saw the temporary nature and they renounced. Okay, that's better than enjoying it. But what did the devotee do with the gadgets?
Use it for...
So does the devotee have jnana?
Yeah.
What's his gyan?
He knows what it's actually.
How does that relate to the gyan of the gyani? What's more gyan?
Yeah,
the gyani knows it's temporary, but the bhakta knows whose it is. He knows it's temporary, but he also knows who's the proprietor and what's its proper utility. So he has more gyan. And the gyani knows that he's not the body, right? Our gyani was saying the kid is Maya, the wife is Maya. But what does the bhakta know about his identity?
They are part and parcel of Krishna.
So what's more? What's more advanced gyan?
Bhakti.
He knows he's Krishna's servant. He knows he's not the body, but he knows more than that. He knows he's Krishna's servant. So he has more gyan. So for a bhakta, karma yoga is easy because he does everything for Krishna, and he has more gyan than a gyani because he knows everything is Krishna's and he knows that he's Krishna's servant. And then the dhyana yogi, okay, we saw our bhakta was controlling the mind. Our bhakta was meditating on the spiritual master. And was controlling the senses. He was only taking prasad. Okay, so for this reason, Ajita Ananda. Ajita Ananda, do we need to preach to people to go through gradual process? Your question. Do we need to preach to people to go through gradual process?
Absolutely
not. Why not?
The bhakti contains all of the potential knowledge and the mind.
So you don't need to go through gradual process. You just start doing bhakti and then you get everything that you get through gradual process. And it's not...
From this process,
there is also
risk on
the Yeah. When you're doing jnana yoga, so much risk. And jnana yoga doesn't include karma yoga. They're all separate and difficult. Karma yoga is so difficult. You know, who's just to fight for the... okay, I'm going to fight for the nation. I've given my whole life for my nation. And the nation leaders, they're all crooks. It's difficult, not easy. But to give it, to do everything for Krishna, easy. He's our supreme friend. It's easy to become attached to Krishna. It's natural and easy. So bhakti includes everything and it's so much easier than all this. Alright. So it's not some sort of sentiment, oh, we're bhaktis, therefore we say bhakti is best. Bhakti is best. No, it's best because it includes all the others and it's easier than all the others.
Less risky.
Like Srila Prabhupada says about it?
Actually, bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal. So to analyze bhakti yoga minutely, one has to understand these other yogas.
Right. So we can see how bhakti includes these other processes by first of all understanding the other processes and seeing how they are inherent in the bhakti process. Someone can read.
So if somebody says, why shall I take advantage of this elevator? I shall go step by step. He can go, but there is chance. If you take this bhakti yoga, immediately you take the help of the elevator, and within a second you are on the 100th floor, direct process.
Nobody. So you'll notice that for this particular section of the course, this is the topic of the open book assessment. Someone like to read that? Anyone who has that sheet of paper there like to read that? Prabhu, you can read loudly, please.
Establish in your own words the superiority of bhakti over the other yoga systems with reference to verses and fervors from Bhagavad Gita, chapters 2 to 6, and comments from Prabhupada's lectures. In your answer, explain the following. The the impracticality of yoga teachings rather than Bhakti Yoga in Kali Yuga, how Bhakti Yoga contains all the components of the other yoga systems, how Bhakti Yoga can be practiced without having practiced other yoga systems.
I think you could do that. That's what we've just been discussing the last couple of days. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about the impracticality of Dhyana Yoga. So a comment on the essays that just do that. What's written in it, we'll expect you to do those things. We'll expect you to explain how Bhakti Yoga is the highest. We'll expect you to give evidences from the from chapters 2 to 6, the verses, the purports, and Prabhupada's lectures if you like. We'll expect you to explain how Bhakti contains the other yoga systems. We'll expect you to explain how you can practice Bhakti without having practiced in the other yoga systems. If you do those things, you get marks. For all of those things are separate components, you get marks for those. If you do anything else, you won't get marks for that. Only those things will give marks, and if you don't do those things, you won't get the marks. So that's how you write an essay. You just answer the essay. And we've been discussing that during the week. Now with the previous essays, if anyone wants to discuss those, the previous essays, then you can come and see me sometime over the next couple of days, and we can discuss that with you.
Do you have office hours for them?
Pardon?
Do you have office hours?
Yeah, they start about 2 minutes from now. And after the class, I'm here until lunch. Not forever. Temporary. Okay? So tomorrow we'll be looking at...
Can you ask another basic question? What means that Dhyana and Karma depends on Bhakti?
Dhyana and Karma depends on Bhakti. Well, it's not really described anywhere in the purports in the Gita, that particular... It's there in other places. Right? It's not really described like that, but... I commented the other day that because they're indirectly Krishna conscious because they're also Krishna systems. So, you know, ultimately you need to have some sort of a surrender to be able to do them. There is some degree of surrender. So some element of worshipping God and surrender to God has to be there. If you haven't got that, then you can't even do those. Even Karmakanda. Yeah. Dimitri.
So, like two small clarifications. Well, first one is there such a thing as bona fide Dhyana Yoga?
Bona fide?
Yeah, bona fide. Because
Dhyana
Yoga. So, because so far in the foreword, one of the verses Prabhupada shows me to explain Mayavadi. So, does Dhyana Yoga mean Mayavadi?
Yeah.
Yes?
I mean, what's your question? Are you asking is it bona fide or practical?
Yeah, so is the Mayavadi bona fide by Krishna?
Not exactly Mayavadi, but Jnana is, and Brahman realization is.
So what's the bona fide Jnana Yoga? What does it mean, bona fide?
Well, we've been discussing the last, it's all there, read the fourth and fifth chapter, there it is. The text 19 is there. He merges into the Brahman because he's developed so much Jnana. And he doesn't see anything as temporary anymore, and he's very, very minimal, and that jnana is jnana-agni, and he merges into the Brahman. Bona fide means authorized. It's not unauthorized. As Krishna is saying, you can do it, but it's very difficult compared to practicing bhakti. Very difficult. And another question? I mean, there's also examples. There are also in Nectar Devotion, you had examples of Jnani. Who were they? In Nectar Devotion, there are examples of Jnani mentioned. The four Kumaras are Jnani. Sukadeva Goswami was a Jnani. So, of course, it's bona fide because there's examples of bona fide. They're not unbona fide. They're examples.
Is there a level of or personality of Krishna,
Jnani
Yoga?
Is there what?
Like a layer of personal approach to Krishna in the Jnana Yoga, or no, it's totally impersonal?
Yeah, pretty much. Otherwise, if you're talking about Krishna, then it's bhakti.
Because if you read Bhagavad Gita, like the Jnana Yoga, you will see that Krishna is supreme personality.
Yeah, well, let's... You see, when Pabbanayan Prabhupada starts explaining the seventh chapter, then we'll see what Krishna means by bhakti. He makes it very clear. Maya Shakta Mana, the first verse of the seventh chapter. Maya Shakta Mana, fix your mind on me, not on the temporary nature of this world. A Gyanis, that's his meditation. We were discussing this morning the Gyanis meditation. I'm not the doer, I'm not breathing, I'm not walking. That's the Gyanis meditation. But the Bhakta's meditation is Maya Shakta Mana. You fix your mind on me, be conscious of me. Mad Ashraya, take shelter of me. That's the first verse of the seventh chapter. It's different. That's bhakti. There may be some God consciousness there, but it's not strong enough like it is as a bhakta where you're taking shelter of Krishna. Okay?
Why then Krishna is saying from the four kinds of people for surrendering the Gyan is the most elevated?
Padmanabha Prabhu will discuss that in full when you get to that verse in the seventh chapter. And why the Gyani is the most qualified out of the four. Yeah, good, good, good. Appetite getting stronger and stronger. But we won't cover the whole Gita in one lesson. Okay, so let's conclude with these comments from Prabhupada on the topic. Someone can read, please.
Directly Bhakti Yoga. This consciousness means from the very beginning directly. Bhakti Yoga, this life we have given many times the example. There is a staircase. You have to go to the highest floor, which is say 100th floor. So somebody is on the 15th floor. 15th floor. Somebody is on the 13th floor. Somebody is on the 18th floor. So if by coming to the particular floor, one thing this is finished, then this is not progressing.
Okay, pass the button. Someone else can read.
One has to go to the end. The whole staircase can be called the yoga system, connecting link. But don't be satisfied by keeping yourself on the 50th floor or 80th floor. Go to the highest platform, the 100th or 150th floor. That is Bhakti Yoga.
Obagi!
Right.